You're listening to the Volleyball by Design podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the difference between championship athletes and everyone else. It's an episode you don't want to miss, so stay tuned. Hi, I'm Coach Brian Singh, and after 11 years coaching competitive volleyball and as a head coach of a college team, I've become obsessed with helping athletes and coaches improve their knowledge and skills of the game by teaching them how to train efficiently and effectively to ultimately reach their volleyball goals. I've created the Volleyball by Design podcast to give you simple, actionable, step-by-step strategies so you can get clarity and apply what you learn right away. This is the Volleyball by Design podcast. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 64 of the Volleyball by Design podcast. How is everyone doing out there today? If you're new to the podcast, welcome. My name is Coach Brian Singh, and I'm the host of the podcast. And you got about 63 episodes to get caught up on, so I'm hoping that I can do my best to deliver some value to you. And if you are a regular listener, thank you again for joining me on another episode. And I hope to give you some perspective today and a little bit of a different, I don't want to say different look, but more of a reminder of things that can help your team win. Well, you got to guess it. The title of this episode, The Difference Between Championship Athletes and Everyone Else. But before we get into the episode, a couple of things. So I just did my workshop, my first workshop today's Sunday, while I'm recording this at least, and it was really good. It was nice to get some great feedback, some questions, a lot of questions asked, and if you're, depending on when you're listening to this, I mean, if you're listening to this after August, 31st, then there's no more workshops until sometime in October, November, maybe, we'll see. But if you're listening to this the week of the recording, you still got one more, which is tomorrow, Monday. Well, you'll be listening to this on Monday, so we still have one Monday, August 30th, 8 o'clock Eastern time. So get on that. It's a free workshop for you coaches if you're interested. Try to get your season off on the right foot. And also, for those of you that don't know, Digital Volleyball Academy is opened for enrollment, which is kind of exciting. Digital Volleyball Academy is my signature membership, where I get to mentor and help coaches all around the world. Basically, I invite you into my gym, virtually, of course, unless you're local, and you get to see behind the scenes, you get access to my resources, my courses, our community, not to mention that I jump on coaching calls, and it is a phenomenal, phenomenal place to be if you're a coach and you're looking to grow as a coach. So head on over to digitalvolleyballacademy.com and get registered. And if you're listening to this episode after, September 2nd, then we are closed. We're closing September 2nd at 10 o'clock Eastern time. That's when doors close to DVA. So if you're listening to it after, no worries. You can get on the wait list, same website, and you'll be notified when doors open again. All right. So let's get into this episode, The Difference Between Championship Athletes and Everyone Else. Now, the reason that this episode is important, especially around this time, is because, many coaches are, you guys are starting a new season. Everybody's dialed in. Everyone from coaches to players, everybody's dialed in. And many cases, athletes think they know what it takes to, or if you ask an athlete, I want to win a championship. I want you to be in championship mode. They're going to say, yes, I'm in championship mode. I'm doing the best that I can, and many athletes that are doing the best they can don't realize that best is relative and may not be what is needed to be a championship athlete, and it needs to be taught in some cases. So I want to, this episode is going to be a little different. I want to share some stories with you guys to demonstrate what I mean by championship athlete versus everyone else. Okay. Because you as a coach may think that your athletes are demonstrating championship traits or characteristics or are acting in the form of a championship athlete. And athletes may be thinking that as well, but don't really know what it means. What does it truly mean to be a championship athlete? Now, I'm not saying championship. We're not talking about culture. Today's a different episode. We're not talking about the culture of your team or the championship culture of the program. I'm talking about the individual athlete, him or herself, okay? So I want to lead with one story And this is one of my favorite stories to tell. So I had a varsity player a couple years ago. His name is Richard. And Richard is a very, very, very intelligent person. Top of his class, graduated 4.0. This guy is extremely talented in a lot of different areas. Really, really smart guy. He was a walk-on on our team. Now, he plays the libero position. He was the walk-on, and we took him on, and we were excited to see what he could do because in tryouts, we saw some raw talent there. We saw some raw talent, okay? We went through the first season with Richard as our starting libero, and Richard, unfortunately, struggled quite a bit. He was not confident. Let me start off by saying he was confident in the beginning, and then as the season went along, his confidence kind of went up and down, especially for certain games, and it was really frustrating for him. He would get served off the court all the time. Coaches would actually tell their players to serve the libero. Now, you can imagine, as a libero, how embarrassing that must have been for him. And wholeheartedly, Rich was trying he was performing to the best of his ability at the time. He was trying. It wasn't like he gave up, or he put 100% every single time he stepped on the floor. Now, there were games where I actually ran a two-person passing rotation because I couldn't trust Richard serve receiving because teams were picking on him, or they would serve his seam, and then our left sides would get messed up passing. So we ended up hiding Richard. Yes, we hit our libero on a serve receive, and then he came back in and played defense, obviously. But we hit him on serve receive, and we ran a two-person rotation. And it screwed up a lot of other teams, actually, because they didn't know how to... It was tougher to serve seams, because even though the seams were bigger, in terms of communicating on the passing, it was a lot easier because there's less people. And guess what? We actually won games that way. We won a lot of games with a two-person passing rotation. So you could imagine, I mean, as a libero, how embarrassing it is to be hidden in a serve reception. That is not cool. Like, imagine how much that hurt his confidence and his ability to just be himself on the court. So it was a struggle for him. So you can imagine, okay, he is nowhere near where he needs to be. Now, I want to tell you some things about Richard. Remember I said he was a hard worker? Extremely hard worker. So what does that mean? That means that he was in the gym always. He never missed a lift. He was always in the gym, and he was doing extra sessions outside of our mandatory sessions that we have to do with the team. Richard would always be at practice. He would always be putting in the reps. He came early for practice because we offer some early touches before our actual practice starts. He would be there early for practice, and he would make sure that he got as much repetitions as possible to get better. And Richard, by the way, he had the fundamentals. He knew the fundamentals down, like his ability to create a platform, his ability to separate his platform from his body, all that stuff, his ability to read, all this great stuff. He had the ability to do that. So then why was he struggling so much? Now, there's a couple of reasons. One, experience. Richard was a walk-on. He didn't have the varsity experience. And it is tough, so I'm not going to lie. It's very difficult to come in without any varsity experience and all of a sudden be a starting lib. That's not an easy task. Okay, so that started. He didn't have the experience. His skill level was, it wasn't there at that time, but it was right on the cusp of being there. It was right there. The problem was because Rich may have a great game, but when a team goes on a serving run, it was really difficult for him to get back out of that rut that he was in. Maybe he shanked a ball or two, got a couple errors, and then mentally, unfortunately, he just wasn't able to get back in it, and then it got worse and worse and worse, and then, you know, so forth. So, long story here, I know. Bear with me, but here's the thing. The very next season, year two with our team, Rich was the best passer on our team by far. He was one of the best liberos in the league. In fact, he was voted as the top libero in our league in the Eastern Division. He was an OCAA All-Star libero. So our league is the OCAA, not the NCAA, the OCAA, because I'm in Canada here. And he was an All-Star in our league. starting libero, OCAA All-Star, best in the East. He was that. Now, how do you go from just one season prior to being hidden as a libero in serve-receive to an OCAA All-Star? How does that happen? Well, this is the difference between championship athletes and everyone else. It's not enough to put the reps in the gym. It's not enough to be hitting the weights. That's actually an expectation. Everybody should be doing that. That is what is a requirement to be able to compete at a high level. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what championship athletes do without thinking. What he was doing was he was developing championship habits by doing the extra stuff, by studying the game, by studying his opponents, by understanding high-level volleyball, by learning. So just to put it into perspective for you coaches, he would be studying film and charting every single server's serve. Every single time that server served, he would chart it. He would study it. Before games, we have a scouting report that we give our athletes. He made his own scouting report for his position. So he's a libero. So he didn't worry about certain things. He was focused on serve reception, which means he charts every single person's serve, serving tendencies, all that stuff. And he cared about the opposing ability to hit. Where do they hit? What are their hitting tendencies? And he did that. And he looked at film. He studied it. He knew every player on that team, what their best serve was, what their weak serve was, what they like to do on a bad toss. You name it. He knew it. And because of that, he went into matches much more prepared mentally as well as according to the game plan. All the confidence in the world. And before the servers serve it, he knew exactly what was coming at him. So you imagine from a passer's perspective, if you already know the type of serve that's coming at you, you have now a significantly more likely of a chance you're going to pass that versus if you didn't. Now, obviously, if the server is just super talented and he's serving like over 120 kilometers an hour and all that stuff, then you know there's only so much you can do, but at least you're prepared and you know what's coming down the pipeline. So Rich was a student of the game. He studied every player that he was going to be up against and made sure he knew everything about them. He also took it upon himself to study, obviously, himself in film, but he broke down his own game. He made sure he got better, both on and off the court. He spent a lot more time filming not only his opponents, but himself as well. What can he do as a person, as an athlete, to be better? Championship habits. He knew setting tendencies on the other team. What do they like to go to? What kind of shot does this player like to hit based on the set? He knew everything. He studied it. And ladies and gentlemen, that right there is what no one talks about. Everyone talks about, you got to be in the weight room. How many times are you practicing? You got to live and breathe the sport that you're playing. Yes, of course you do. You have to put more reps in the gym and you got to be in the weight room to be stronger. But we're talking about studying the game, studying his opponents, studying himself, doing all that homework, that extra work off the court. That is what took him over to be an all-star and top libero in our league. And he did it in just year two. So why this story is important is because coaches, sometimes athletes, don't realize what it takes to have that championship mindset, that championship mentality. You may have to teach it to them. This is a great story you can tell. There are many stories you can tell, but this is one of them that I think is really important. And I think that by just this alone shows you, because with all due respect to Rich, Rich is a fantastic human being and a fantastic volleyball player, okay? Let's just understand that. But Rich was nowhere near an OCAA All-Star type level. An All-Star in the league when he came in? Not a chance. He was nowhere near that. And it wasn't me. I mean, yeah, I'm his coach, and I tried to help, and we put him in a foundation where he could potentially, you know, grow and do better. But it wasn't us. It was him. He's the one that did it. And we're extremely proud of what he did. All right. So there's a nice one. Let me story number two for you, okay? This is my story, one of my stories here. So when I was coaching 16U back in the club days, there was a team called Pac-Man. I've talked about it on the podcast before. We actually interviewed the director of volleyball operations over at Pac-Man. Best volleyball club in the country. Okay. This team was undefeated. They don't lose. They didn't lose. Okay. Losing wasn't an option to this team. They had all the talent in the world. At the time that we played them for 16U, at the time, we were a 9th ranked team, I believe. Might have even been worse than that, actually. We might have been ranked lower than a 9th ranked team. And they were number one by far. So we knew that skill for skill-wise, they were much better than us. Individually, they had a better skill team than we did at the time. Right? We had a couple really talented players that could obviously, you know, be right there with them. But majority of our team wasn't at their level. And what we did as coaches is we broke down that team frame by frame, step by step. We studied that team in detail before we played them in our first tournament against them. We had a scouting report for our players. We had film on them. We had meetings about this team. We basically created an entire process to make sure we were up and ready to play this team. It's basically what we do right now in college, but we did this for one game in a tournament against the best team. And guess what happened? We knew exactly what they were going to do before they did it. We knew all their tendencies. We knew exactly what they were going to bring to us. And we beat them in the third. We only play 3 sets if you tie for 1-1. And we beat them in the 3rd set. We beat them. Shocked the gym. They couldn't believe that we beat them. Our guys couldn't believe that we beat them. But we beat them. What was really funny is we put so much energy and time into that one match. We ended up losing and not even coming top 3 in that tournament because we just put everything we had into that one match and the rest of it. And then we lost to teams that were nowhere near the team that we beat. But in hindsight, I get that. But the point is that we had no reason to beat this team, but we did because we were more prepared. We knew their tendencies. We knew their habits. We knew what we were going to do. We did that extra homework, just like Rich did, that extra work to be ready. And that is championship mentality, championship athletes right there, okay? A little third story for you. This is actually, I'm a big fan of the NBA. I live in Toronto. I'm a Toronto Raptor fan, if you want to say that. And there's an NBA player. His name is DeMar DeRozan. He used to play for the Toronto Raptors before he got traded to San Antonio for Kawhi Leonard. And he told a story, actually, on a podcast. And when I heard this, it was just championship. This is the difference between championship players versus not. So Toronto, before we won the championship a couple years ago, we kept losing to Cleveland because Cleveland had LeBron James. And we kept losing to them. 2 years in a row, we lost to them. We beat all the other teams. We just couldn't get past LeBron. LeBron was that good. And DeRozan shared a story that I think is the epitome, is the definition of championship mentality. Basically, they run their playbook, they have their play calls and all that stuff. And they had a sub come in the game, and the sub came in the game, and the sub for the Raptors was didn't know how to run a play. They made a play call, but I guess he forgot what the play was. And LeBron was telling him, hey, by the way, you're supposed to be over here when you guys run this play. LeBron was telling him where to go on the play that the Toronto Raptors are running when LeBron played for Cleveland. That right there is championship. LeBron knows the Raptors' entire playbook based on their film and their recruiting and was telling a player on the Raptors, no, this is where he's supposed to be. Now, one, embarrassing for the Raptors or that player for that matter, but two, that is the mindset. That is championship. So LeBron knew exactly what the Raptors are going to bring at him. He knew exactly how to beat it, and he did it before they did. They knew it. And that's incredible. That's impressive right there. So there are so many stories that I can share. I mean, the Jordan era. I'm a basketball guy, so I apologize if you have hockey fans or football fans listening to this, but you know, the Jordan era, you know, the late Kobe, these guys. Yes, you see them and you hear stories about them in the weight room and you hear stories about them. You know, they're in the weight room. They're in the gym. They're gym rats and all that stuff. But it's more than that, because there's many players in this world who are gym rats and in the weight room. There are many players. It's more than that. It's that mindset that you have to have. That championship mindset is what separates you from the rest. It's doing the things that people don't even think about doing, studying the game, studying your opponents. No, it's a game of chess, knowing what they're going to do before, figuring out how to manipulate the game. There's so many different ways of doing that. That's you got to think outside the box to be a champion. You got to think outside the box. You can't just show up and expect to win. Show up to practice. Show up to strength training. I think that's what's going to take. It's more than that. So coaches, these are my stories. I'm sure you have your own. I'm sure maybe in whatever sports you watch or in your life or whatever, you can relate to something that I've mentioned. The goal of this episode is just to enforce and really encourage you to teach your athletes how to be champions, how to have that championship mentality. Now, we're not talking about championship culture for your team. I've talked about that in past episodes, and you know it's important to have a championship foundation in terms of your team culture, your programming, and stuff like that, without a doubt. But I'm talking about individual athletes, because especially when you coach young players don't know how to be champions. We got to teach them how to be champions. And we have to motivate them and encourage them. So when it comes to, you know, when I coached club, we taught our players how to think like a champion, how to act like a champion, and we reinforced it. We would test them. Did you watch film? What happened in this play? Why did they do this? And if they didn't know it, we would reinforce. Wait, hey, let's know this. This is what it takes to be a champion. This is what we want. And I'll tell you, by 18U, when I graduated with those guys, or when those guys graduated, we ended up losing in the semis to the team that won the whole thing. And that's the same team, evidently, that we beat at 16U, but they were a lot stronger at 18U. Their entire starting lineup was the provincial team slash, and they had three Team Canada guys on there. I had one Team Canada player. They had three. And the rest of the players were provincial players. I didn't have that. I had one player who was Team Canada. The rest of my guys were local boys who just played the game, and it was coached by me. They didn't do anything else after that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I lied. Some of them went on after to, you know, do great things in university and college and stuff like that. But we only had one player, and we lost. Fair enough. They were the better team. But if it wasn't for them, we would have seen them in the finals, and, you know, who knows what could have happened after that. But it is that's he said, she said a lot. That's another story. The point is, we got to teach our players to be championship athletes. Don't lose that focus. When they're not behaving in a championship manner, when they're not exhibiting championship habits and traits, we got to reinforce it. We got to teach it, because in the long run, it'll pay off. Guarantee it. All right, that's my spiel. Hope you enjoyed this one. If you're listening to this in the first week of September or last week of August, listen. Digital Volleyball Academy is open until Thursday, September 2nd, 2021. Get in there, go to digitalvolleyballacademy.com. I can't wait to see you guys inside the membership so we can work together and we can grow. I can help you grow as a coach. I can bring you into my world so you can see what we do behind the scenes, and we can grow this game and make it that much better. All right, and if you're not listening to this during that time, that's okay. You can go sign up for the waitlist, and you'll know when we open doors again for you in the future. All right, that's it for me. I will see you next week on another episode of the Volleyball by Design podcast. Take care. All right, cue the music. Look, are you at the stage you want to be in your volleyball journey? How would it feel to get clarity on your training, and instead of taking months to get better, you could improve in weeks, if not days? When I was a young coach and player, I felt this way all the time. The truth is, after I got some great advice on how to be efficient, my learning curve grew exponentially. Let me show you how to be more efficient and effective in this game. I invite you to check out CoachBTraining.com for more resources that you can use to take your game to the next level. I look forward to helping you reach your volleyball goals.